Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Thursday, October 27th, 2016. With me today, Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am well. Thanks for having me on the show, Jeff.
Thanks for making time to be on. It's been a busy morning for us. We just wrapped up our live coverage of Apple's Hello Again media event.
Indeed.
And since we did that as a whole group in a hangout that people could join in on, which, by the way, was loads of fun, I figured that we could do a one-on-one here. So it's a little less crazy with people.
A little less crazy, that's fine, yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, the announcements that we had today was a new TV app for Apple TV,
right,
that is following down the path of what you have wanted out of Apple TV. So something where it's content-centric instead of app-centric. And then we also had the new MacBook Pros announced. So we had, nearly 90 minutes of an event. And those are the two big things.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. All right. So, let's talk about, if we could, can we talk about the TV one first?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. So this actually, I'm going to complain about this, but that's okay. Just because you know that's who I am. But I do want to say this makes me really, really happy. I mean, they've built into this app called TV exactly what I've been asking for in Apple TV for months, if not longer. Mm-hmm. I articulated it a couple of months ago in a post where I said that Apple TV is too app-centric, because it is. When we launch the Apple TV, all we see is the apps, and there's no, like, I don't care whether I'm watching a show in Netflix or Hulu or whatever. I just want to go and watch that show again. And, you know, as I mentioned at the time when I wrote the piece, TiVo has totally solved this problem.
Sure.
And I say totally. There are quirks with the TiVo interface that I would have fixed as well. It's not perfect, right?
But it was on the right track.
Yeah, totally. Their whole UI is show based. You can, if you want to think about, well, I want to go see what I have in Netflix. You can do that, but that's not the default. All right. You just get this list of shows that you're already watching and you just choose to continue watching one of them. And it really doesn't matter where it is, whether it's on demand with your provider or what, you know, whatever. And so this TV app does offer a solution to that problem, because prior to, like, currently, the app's coming out this year. So currently, you still have to launch Netflix to know that you're going to watch a Netflix show. You have to launch Hulu to watch a Hulu show. But this TV app will let you just have favorites and mm-hmm. choose which show you want to watch. So and then they've got other things where they're suggesting content to you and all this other stuff, which we'll see how that works. I mean, that's neither a good idea nor a bad idea. It's all in the execution. Right.
Right.
You know, and so we'll see how that goes. That's fine. They want to attempt this. Great. Discoverability is a thing. Apple's never really been great about solving it, but hey, you know, there's a first time for everything. No one's been great about solving it, to be fair, that I've found. So I'm excited about that. What I'm less excited about is that they made it an app. And maybe that's the first step down this path. And maybe with tvOS, what are we at, 4 now, right? Right? Is that right? No,
we're at
tvOS
10.
That's right. Sorry. So maybe with tvOS 11, the app becomes your front door and your homepage, if you will. But, you know.
You know what they could do as, I'll call it a compromise for that, is give us an option where we set a default app for launch.
Totally.
And yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, that would actually be a great solution, because that way it gives the user flexibility and do whatever you want. So yeah, that's not a very Apple thing to do, to be fair, but it would totally appease me. I'm not sure if it's what they want all of their users to experience, you know, setting default apps, and then you have no idea. And if what happens if you set an app that crashes, right? I mean, that opens the door up to a lot of different things. So,
sure.
Yep. Something like that. But still, like the fact that it exists, you know, now it takes up example, they had it as the upper leftmost app in their whatever that featured bar is, highlight bar or whatever.
I just call it the app grid.
The app grid, yeah, right. And then the top four of them are treated a little bit differently because you get sort of preview stuff and all that. But so they made it their topmost one, so you know it's one click away, and you launch the app and then you go and then you just do what you want. So I it's great. I mean, they're moving in the right direction. I'm frankly ecstatic about it. Like I said, it's like, okay, moving in the right direction, and I'm really happy.
Yes, I'm really happy about the app too. That this addresses one of my biggest issues with Apple TV, which is having to hop between apps to view content.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, so
totally.
I'm totally glad that they're doing this. This to me feels like what we should have had from the beginning.
Well, yeah, but I mean, to be fair, things always need to kind of go through a bit of a adjustment.
Sure.
So,
let me rephrase that. This is what we should have had from the beginning of Apple TV 4. That should have just been a default app on the fourth gen Apple TV.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But, we're there now, so that's good.
Yes. Okay, now here's my other disappointment with the app. Not available until the end of the year.
Yeah.
I want to use it today. I want to use it last week.
Yup. It's just you and me both.
Yeah, and I hope that, and I think I said something like this in our live chat. I hope that Apple doesn't make end of the year for this app the same thing that they made late October for the AirPods. Meaning, I hope it actually ships by the end of the year and doesn't get pushed out till next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So,
I think if you're willing, I mean, certainly if you're willing to run the developer betas, I think you'll be able to have it before the end of the year, for sure.
Maybe I should start running developer betas on my Apple TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Every summer I wind up running developer betas on more and more devices as, we get closer to release point. And then when everything comes out in the fall, then I resync back with the normal schedule, the release schedule for my production devices. But this might be one of those things where I'm going to go ahead and jump the gun and deal with the, whatever the beta is so that I can experience this.
Right. Yep.
Which is fine. I mean, it's part of the deal. My family's mostly used to it.
Yeah. Now, to go to the betas, you need a USB-C cable, right?
You need a USB-A to USB-C cable, I believe, right? Am I right on that?
I think you're right.
USB-A.
The new MacBook Pro comes out, and then I just need USB-C straight through.
Yeah, but yes, you need something that plugs into your computer, whatever that is, either A or C. It's not going to be B. No computers have B. Printers have B. Mm-hmm. So you're going to do a USB-A to USB-C cable, I believe both male, if I am not mistaken.
That would make sense.
Yep. And then, right, of course. And then from there, you can push an update to your Apple TV and go from there. I think it's done with iTunes. I did it once. I'm pretty sure it was iTunes, right? iTunes sees it, and then you can, just like your iPhone, you treat it like a local update. You hit the option key, and you find the file, and you force it on there, and all that good stuff. So, quick little tip, by the way, for anybody that ever would want to take screenshots or video capture, I suppose, from your Apple TV, if you plug in with a USB A to C cable or a USB whatever it takes to C cable, the QuickTime app will certainly let you take screenshots from your Apple TV right in there.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if ScreenFlow would do that too.
I believe ScreenFlow does. I believe it sees it. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. That's an awesome tip.
Yep. Yep. That, is that how, isn't that how you get your screenshots for the Apple TV?
I use a camera on a tripod.
Old school.
I totally go old school.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't have a USB-C to USB-A cable.
Well, they were hard to find when the Apple TV first came out.
Right.
And when I got my developer kit of the Apple TV, I was in the second wave of those, and it came with the remote, the Apple TV, and a lightning cable. And I just assumed, because it was the developer kit, that that was enough to then be able to install software on the TV and the Apple TV. And sure enough, no, I had to like find one on Amazon. They were hard to find for a while. I think they're easier now. Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe I'll get one, or maybe I'll just wait until I get the new MacBook Pro and just get a C2C cable.
Should we talk about the new MacBook Pro?
I think it's time.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So Apple announced new MacBook Pros, 15-inch and 13-inch. And the new models have the tool bar, just like we expected.
The touch bar.
The touch bar. That's right. Prior to today, it looked like it was going to be called the Magic Toolbar. Because,
right.
Yeah, because Apple has a trademark on the name. But it's called the Toolbar, just Toolbar.
Yep.
And seeing the demonstrations of the Toolbar in action, I'm actually really looking forward to working with it. I think it may get me to do things on my MacBook Pro that I have relegated over to my iPad, specifically video editing. I found video editing work to be so much easier on the iPhone than on my Mac, so that's where I send all my video.
And do you have a trackpad on your Mac?
Yes.
I forget which kind of Mac you use. Okay, all right.
Yeah, so I have a 2012 Retina MacBook Pro.
All right, so even with a trackpad, you still find that the iOS devices are easier / simpler to do video editing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Being able to just use my finger and touch and slide and have the graphic interface where my finger is, that is a big
thing. Makes total sense. Yeah.
So I'll try some video editing on the new MacBook Pro. Let's see. So other things that they announced with it that are no surprise, the keyboard mechanism that you have on the MacBook, that's on the MacBook Pro now. It just seems like that was a matter of time.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Yeah.
SD card slot is gone, and the USB-A and Thunderbolt 2 ports have been replaced with USB-C / Thunderbolt 3. Same port. It handles both protocols.
Yep.
It does have an audio jack. At least that's what it looked like as the laptop was spinning around in the pictures.
It sure did look like it has an audio jack. Yeah, I'm guessing / hoping. Well, no. Does the current one have audio in and out? Is it a combo jack?
It's a combo jack.
It is. Okay, so maybe the new one does. I'll try and look it up while we're talking here.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
MagSafe connector is gone. So that tells you one of the first adapters I'm going to buy, USB-C to MagSafe. Because I have had multiple occasions over the years where having a MagSafe connector was a lifesaver. So much so that I'm willing to buy a third-party USB-C to MagSafe adapter so that I don't have to worry.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And do those exist?
I'm pretty sure I've seen one out there somewhere.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I think it was it Griffin that had one?
I think it's Griffin. Yes.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be on my shopping list. And of course, whatever adapters that I need to get everything else into my computer.
Sure.
And, yeah. So,
I have some detail on the audio jacks here, and I'm looking to confirm the last one here. Yeah, so the tech specs on Apple's website for every model of MacBook that's available, so MacBook, MacBook Air, and the new MacBook Pro, all list 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. However, the MacBook Air, and I'll go through the others. The MacBook Air says support for Apple iPhone headset with remote and microphone. So that tells me that that is on the Air, an input and output port. On the regular MacBook, the same thing is said. So that would, again, indicate that it's both an input and output port. The audio on the new MacBook Pro, on the 13-inch anyway, does not say that. It says stereo speakers with high dynamic range, a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, nothing about it supporting the iPhone cable with a microphone. Interestingly, the 13-inch model, the without the touch bar, has two microphones somewhere. And the one with touch bar has three microphones somewhere.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. And while we're on it, let's look at the so the touch bar, the two touch bar MacBook Pros are the same. 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, no mention of microphone support in the jack. Stereo speakers with high dynamic range and three microphones.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I know. Yeah.
I guess at least it still has a headphone jack, which surprisingly I think is an important thing to have on the laptop still.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes, I agree. Well, otherwise, how would you plug it in? I mean, you know, at least with the iPhone, we have lightning to 3.5 millimeter, right? With this, right. It would have to be
USB-C.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I guess would be possible.
Sure.
It would be kind of the same as lightning. It would have to have a DAC inside the adapter and all of that. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So this really does support the concept that it was removed from the iPhone for space / waterproofing concerns and not some larger political mission. And I'd say political, yeah, meaning not like, you know, any country's politics, just, you know, we believe, therefore we shall, kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this new computer. The display with the larger color gamut is pretty exciting for me. And, you know, just having something that will be substantially faster than what I'm using right now, thinner, lighter, and with that toolbar, space gray.
The toolbar looks it looks far more compelling than I expected it to.
Yes, yeah. Seeing the demonstrations where Apple made a point to show it used with professional apps, I think that was important. It was compelling.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of professional, it's pretty clear that Apple is saying this is our top of the line professional machine. I mean, it can drive two 5K displays in addition to the built-in display simultaneously.
Well, and that was an interesting thing. What does this mean for the Mac Pro, or frankly, even the iMac? I mean, and I'm not talking about today. Obviously, today those are what they were before the event, but. Yeah, that was an interesting way to say, hey, look, for all of you that want to run Final Cut Pro, this is the computer we recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it also runs, like, it was like, now this is the flagship. You want to do this? Go get a 15-inch with the quad, you know, core CPU and let's go.
Yeah. It was really interesting to watch because it was pretty clear that Apple was silently killing the Mac Pro today. Or at least that's the impression that I got.
Yeah. Tacitly accepting where it is, I think. It might even be a better way to say it.
Okay. There we go. I'll accept that.
Yeah.
We are almost out of time. So, Dave, what did you think of the event overall?
I would speculate, I will speculate, I am speculating, that there was a lot of back and forth within Apple as to whether or not to do this event, to do this as an event. I think they were going to release these new MacBooks Pro, but I guess MacBook Pros would be the right, how would we say, it doesn't matter. But it was a lot... asking people to show up and all of that for just this seemed a little out of place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially following yesterday's Microsoft event with the introduction of the Slate Studio.
Right.
Excuse me, Surface Studio.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, had yesterday's event not happened, today's event, I think, would have felt like a bigger thing.
Maybe. To be fair, I didn't watch yesterday's event yet. I was out of pocket all day yesterday, so I have it queued up. I'm going to, but I haven't. And even still, I'm aware of what happened yesterday, you know, on the surface. But
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I see that. But I don't know. It's still, even just within Apple's own bubble, I don't know. It felt a little like, really? That's it? Okay.
Yeah.
And then also, by the way, the MacBook Air is still here. We don't know why. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole discussion of MacBook Air was like really weird.
Really weird. Yeah.
So, this was an event that to me felt like it was too long for what it was. May not have been necessary. And yet, at the same time, I'm really excited about what they announced.
Yeah, right. Yes, me too. Although, yeah, I need to get a couple more laptops around the house here for the kids, especially, possibly me. And this sort of leaves me, well, it's not immediately obvious what those should be.
Yes. Yeah, Apple's product line right now is a little bit murky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's really telling that we both sat here and went on for a little over 20 minutes about how we weren't blown away with the event, and yet we're still pleased with the announcements.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
All right. Well, we're out of time, so I guess that means we better wrap up.
Off we go.
All right, Dave, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. This was fun.
Yeah, it was loads of fun. Listeners, thank you for being here. And those of you that joined us in our live hangout today, thank you for being there, too. That was a lot of fun. And loved getting to participate in real time in or with Apple's media event with you guys. That really was cool.
Yeah, fun stuff.
Yeah, lots of fun. So thanks for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.